Hi, I'm James Galliard, and welcome to In Black and White, where we offer clear, challenging, and compelling conversations and commentaries on the issues that matter most, whether it's public policy, personal development, a master's class, a critical conversation, a Bible study, or a subject in a news cycle. I hope today's episode informs you, and I hope it inspires you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Amen, amen. Y'all did good. So I'm not, any individual volunteer want to come up to the microphone? I'll take you. I'm going to teach tonight why this is so important. I'm going to teach you something you probably have never heard before, and why this issue of studying the word and scripture memorization is so important. And so it's going to be good. It's going to be really good. We already spoke into our hearing, Proverbs 3. But I'll still read it out of my Bible. I'm still old-fashioned. I like to read my word. But in Proverbs 3:5, I want to focus heavily on verses 5 through 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. That's what I want to focus on tonight. What I want to do is I want to conduct a quick master class on Bible intake. Because when we wound up teaching last week, we talked about the importance of taking in the word, what the value of that does. And we walked through some significant factors. We said the lowest level of this, or the starting point, shouldn't call it a low level. The starting point of this is just when we hear the word, right? But we said we got to do more than just hear the word. We got to do some other things. And so we left off last week with talking about, on your handout, there's some things that we cautiously have to do, and that had to do with our crowd and our confidants. And then we said there's some things that we have to be willing to consistently do, some things that we have to do on a continuous basis. One of the things that we said, and this is where we left off last week, is that I've got to continually get in the word. And we talked about what that meant was I have to get in the pages of scripture. Amen? Now, I want to spend some time doing a deep dive, quick masterclass. I'm going to try to do this in 20 minutes, and then we'll finish the sheet. I want to try to do a quick dive on why this is important and what it looks like for us to consistently, continuously stay tuned into the pages of scripture. And so I want to begin with, I want you to, and this is not going to be on your note sheet, and so I want you to jot down, you may have it from last week, I want you to jot down some scripture references that we're going to go over so I can show you the elements of this, so that when we get to the end, I can show you why scripture memorization is so important. But there's some things that we have to do to get to the place of scripture memorization. And I just want to encourage, you know, I'll take a volunteer. Let me see. Anybody who's just willing to jump up and do it, and just anybody can tell me your shoe size. Seven. Okay. Anybody remember, I grew up at 3554 North 11th Street. I lived there from the time I was born to the time I left to go to Morehouse College. I'm so old, our phone numbers used to start with letters. And my phone number was BA81228. Right, some of my young people are like, what in the world are y'all talking about? How many people here still remember the address of the home you grew up in? Amen. Right. Here's my simple point. Memorization is possible. So I don't anyone's feeling like I can't memorize scripture. There's so many things in your life. Most of us know our social security numbers, right? Many of us know the dates of birth of our children, spouses. So it's doable. It's all about what we want to focus on. And tonight I want to teach you at the beginning of Bible study why scripturally it is so important, and why we don't talk enough about it as Christians and as believers in our walk. And so this whole issue, jot down if you're taking some scripture notes, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. 1 Timothy chapter 4, he says, exercise yourself toward godliness. That word exercise in the Greek is the word discipline. Everybody say discipline. He says, I have to discipline myself toward godliness. I can't just hope myself into being godly. Right. Amen. Just like I can't hope myself into weight loss. I can't just hope myself into strong muscles. If I want muscles, I have to exercise. Amen? So that means discipline. I have to have the discipline of regularly going to the gym, regularly working out, regularly walking. So whatever I want in my life, I have to be disciplined about it. Now listen to this. If I want to be godly, I have to be disciplined about it. He says, exercise yourself toward godliness. Discipline yourself toward godliness. It doesn't just happen because I say I want to be more like God. I have to exercise myself, discipline myself spiritually in order for it to happen. Now, I want to walk you through what that looks like scripturally. And so the first thing that I want to introduce to us, and let me just say one more thing. This is what, when we say discipline, this is what I mean by discipline. I want you to grab this for your notes. A discipline is a spiritual path. Everybody say a spiritual path. A discipline is a spiritual path that once I get on, I can expect to find God's transforming presence and his transforming grace. I just said a mouthful. That's powerful. That it's a spiritual path that I can expect to find God's transforming power and his transforming grace. That means if I do these things, if I discipline myself regularly, I can expect that on these disciplines, I am going to experience something great in God. No different than going to the gym and working out, and I can expect to see some results. And for those that are working out, you notice I didn't say those of us, but for those that are working out, I'm going to get there. Pray for your pastor. For those that are working out, one of the great motivations for going back is when you see results. And I want to teach you the same concept as it relates to our spiritual disciplines. Because listen, all of this begins with my dependence on God. We learned that last week. Like, the starting point to this is I've got to depend on him. Trust in the Lord. Trust. A dependence on him. The issue becomes, what does that dependence look like? And so the first thing that I want to lift up is this is about my Bible intake. This is about how I intake the word. Most of us are still at Sunday morning, maybe Tuesday night hearing. But if I'm going to take it in, it's got to be deeper than that. And I'm going to show you why I'm asking you to memorize scripture and what's the importance of it. So the first thing that I've got to do is I've got to be able to hear the word. Everybody say, hear the word. In Luke chapter 11, verse 28, he says, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word and keep it. So the starting point, now I'm going somewhere with this. The starting point in my spiritual discipline is hear the word, because I'm going to kill a demon that lives in every church. Okay. Let me give you another passage of scripture. I'm going to walk you through these real quick. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. We know this. So then faith comes by hearing, right? And hearing by the word of God. Let me just give you one other passage of scripture, and then I'm going to tell you why this is important. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 3. But he said to them, have you not read? And we're going to go to read in a second. Now pause here for just a moment. We live in a culture where we have convinced ourselves that I can worship God separate from hearing the word of God. So this is what it looks like in 2023. I can worship God out on the golf course. Well, you can worship God walking in the park. You can worship God at the beach. You can worship God at the mountains. But I cannot consistently worship God without hearing the word. Which is why we come to a church. It's why we gather in a place. Because the starting point in my discipline is hearing the word. So that's why they have to develop a discipline every Sunday, every Tuesday, because I have to hear the word. And so when people say, man, I've been worshiping God, sitting at home, you know, having my own quiet time, that no, you cannot, scripturally, you cannot consistently worship God independent of hearing the word of God. Amen. Say amen if you follow that. Amen. Now, the second word I want you to jot down after hearing is reading. Everybody say reading. This is what I went over last week quickly, but I want to give you Bible for it. There is an expectation placed on us in Scripture that we read the Word of God for ourselves. Yes. As a matter of fact, less people would be duped by preachers if they got in the Bible themselves. Right. Amen, somebody. Amen. Because there are things that get quoted that are not even in the Word of God. Things that people say, and sometimes it's something a grandmama said or just a person that meant well and it sounded good, but it was not consistent with the word of God. In Matthew chapter 12, he says, have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He literally, Jesus asking for, did you not read this? He doesn't say to them, did you not hear the preacher preach about it? He says, as a Christian, did you not read this? Let me give you, look, all through the Gospel of Matthew, you see evidence of this. He answered them, Jesus talking again. Matthew chapter 19, verse 4. He said, answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? There is an expectation that we read the word. Say amen if you're following me. Matthew chapter 21. And Jesus said to them, have you never read. Have you never read this? The requirement that he puts on us is not just to come to church and hear it, but to read it. Say amen if y'all following me. And so the second issue is that I've got to be willing to read the word. Now let me pause here for a moment and say a few things about this. Because we said amen to it, but then I've got to develop the discipline of doing the reading. Let me give you a couple thoughts on what that could look like. Number one, develop a time every day that you're going to read the word. I mean, most folk who work out, they got a rhythm to that thing. They know when they're going to go to the gym. They got an idea what it's going to look like. We should put aside a time that I'm going to just say, it's, you know what, it's 8 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, whatever it is, 6 o'clock at night, I'm going to spend 30 minutes and I'm going to read the Bible. The second, so number one, I got to identify a time to read. I'm teaching a spiritual discipline, y'all, because I'm going to say this. I want you to get it in your spirit because God told me in my office, prepare for what I'm about to do. And I just know it's all linked to how seriously we're going to take this walk. So I want you to hear me. I'm going to repeat myself several times so we get it. A spiritual discipline, is a pathway, a spiritual pathway where I can expect to experience the transforming grace and presence of God. That if I get on this street, I can expect I'm going to experience him. So the second issue is that of reading. I need a time I'm going to read. Number two, I need to develop a reading plan. Now, some of you are going to be offended, but I hope you know I love you enough. This is not meant in offense. This is meant in instruction. A reading plan does not mean I just randomly see where my Bible opens. I mean, when you preparing for dinner, you don't just randomly close your eyes and see what you grab. Right? It's planned. And so plan to read through one of the Gospels. Plan, you know, you've heard me say this before. There are 31 Proverbs, so whatever day of the week it is, that's the day you should be reading that proverb. So we should be literally reading the Proverbs more than every other book in the Bible because it's literally the wisdom literature of the Scriptures, right? And so I've got to develop a reading plan. And I've got to say, let me make up in my mind when I'm going to read and what exactly am I going to read. And then... let me just say one more thing about it. When you read, here's the third thing I want you to do. I want you to find one word or one verse or one phrase out of what you read and just focus on it. God, what are you saying to me about this? God, what does this mean? God, what are you like? What are you preparing in my heart? We can just use the Proverbs 3 verse that we've been learning. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, right? Take one of those words, one of those phrases, one of those verses, and really spend some time with it. And just spend some time talking to God. God, what do you want me to get out of this? So the second level of this spiritual discipline of Bible intake is reading the word. Look at your neighbor, tell them we got to read the word. Now, let me go deeper. Look at Acts chapter 17, verse 11. In Acts 17, 11, it's up on your screen as well. It says these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Right? That's the next level. The next level after I read is I study. Everybody say study. Right. So I'm studying it, y'all. See, reading is breath. Studying is depth. Right. So I want to spend some more. And listen, I'm not talking about biblical scholarship here. I'm talking about if you have, hopefully you have like cross references in your Bible, you know, where you're reading down and you see like a little number and it refers. And then read what that cross reference is. Most every Bible has a concordance in the back. And so look up a few words in the concordance and reference them back to other places in the Bible. And so the next step to this is studying. Now, the last step to this is memorizing. Now, let me give you a couple passages of scripture. Psalm 119. Your word I have hidden in my heart. That does not mean that a surgical incision was placed and the Bible got put in my chest. Right. The only way the word can be hidden in my heart is if I know it. And the only way I can know it is if I memorized it. I'm about to teach us something that is powerful. Colossians 3 and 2 says to us, set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. And so if I have not had the memorization of the word in my mind, we forget. We have a biblical requirement to love the Lord your God with all of your. Right. The second one was mind. We like to skip right over that. Love the Lord with all my heart. My heart is good. Well, if your heart is good, the word is in it. And the only way the word can be in it is if I can quote it, if I know it. All right, so let me teach you now. How many of you remember Paul writing to the church at Ephesus in chapter 6 of Ephesians chapter 6, and he's talking about the whole armor of God? He says, take the helmet of salvation and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That does not mean I'm attacking you with my Bible. I want you to get this. Many Christians have been fighting the devil without swords. This is what he means. When I have on the sword of the Spirit, it's when every time I can quote the scriptures, that scripture I've quoted has become a sword. So now, y'all just, whether or not you realize that some of you have gotten your first sword. That means you're going to fight better than ever before. So now when the enemy comes against you, how many of y'all remember when he comes for Jesus in Matthew 4? And Jesus says, is it not written? Right. That was his sword. Yes. So every time now we open our mouth and say, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own. You have. But I need you to get this. It is not stabbing the enemy. It is literally planting that sword in him. Imagine an enemy filled with swords. How could he live? Y'all missed it still. Trust in the Lord with all my heart. That sword is in there. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. For his light, the delight shall be in the law of the Lord, and his law shall he meditate day and night. To every time you memorize scripture, you have acquired another sword to fight the enemy. Tell your neighbor, we need swords to fight the enemy. And so I want us to begin this year memorizing scripture. Because I want swords. I can't, enemy not running off with my quoting a poem. He's not running off with me quoting a song. He's gonna run off when I pull the sword out. And so I have to continuously, according to Proverbs, spend time in scripture. And I have to understand exactly what that looks like and what the process of that looks like. Let me say a final thing and then we'll go back to our sheet. My growth is a result of the quality of my intake. In anything. See, principles that are true for Satan too. Yeah. Let me say it again. My growth is a result of the quality of my intake. If I'm a student in college, how well I perform is linked to the quality of my study. My growth is a result of the quality of my intake. If the extent of my biblical intake is hearing, then I don't have quality intake. Amen. And if I don't have quality intake, I don't grow. Good, how many of us have seen folk been in church 20 years and you like, you don't know more than that by now? You still being fooled by the enemy with that? And so the first issue of discipline is discipline with the scriptures. Discipline with the scriptures. Hey, Robin, I was thinking in my office, I said, no, y'all probably got your, everything lined up for this month. Know what I think we should do next month since I'm teaching this? Let's just flood Sunday morning with songs that are nothing but scripture. Amen. Let's just sing scripture for a month. Even if we got to sing the song over again. So let's sing Proverbs 3. Let's sing Psalm 23. Let's just sing scripture. Because I need that biblical intake. So number one, pages of scripture. Now here's the second thing on your handout that I've got to continuously do. I've got to be disciplined by the prayers of the saints. Amen. So now we're back to Proverbs 3 now. Let me open my Bible back. We're back to Proverbs 3. And he begins telling us this is the discipline. We talked about the dependence. Trust in the Lord. That's dependence. With all your heart. That's the degree of my dependence or my dedication, right? In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. So I've got to have a discipline of some things. I've got to watch out for some things and I've got to do some things. So the prayers of the saints. If I want to, and this is where we are, y'all, trust in the Lord with all your heart. It is a matter of what I'm allowing myself to be exposed to. So if I'm going to trust the Lord, I've got to ask myself, what are the things that form the things that cause me to think the way I think? Because notice what he says. He says, don't be wise in your own eyes. You don't know as much as you think you know. All right, watch what you let. Please get this. It's life changing. Watch what you intake. Because the things I intake will form my understanding. It's form how I see things. It's probably a good time for me to remind folk. We don't see things the way they are. We see things the way we are. So when you see somebody doing something, whatever, they may not be doing anything like you think. You're going to assess it based on what you would be doing if that was you. So that means I have to get as good as I can get so I don't see things the wrong way. So I need people praying for me. Because when people are praying for me, I'm hearing that word. I'm hearing that encouragement. And not just anybody praying for me. Be very careful who you say, will you pray for me to? Right. You know, I want us to be reminded of this. It's very dangerous when I go up to pray with you and say, let's get in agreement. Let me get in agreement with you. No. We are not in agreement with each other. We are in agreement with God. Because that person could want, if you've been around Word Tabernacle for a long time, you've heard me tell this story, so I apologize. But we have a lot of new people, and I want you to catch up with all that God has been doing and saying in these 18 years. But we had a situation back at 820 Nashville Road where a person came up to me on Sunday morning. You know, we generally have the altar available, and people, Pastor, would you pray for me? I said, I'd be happy to pray for you. What would you like me to pray about? Or would you just like me to pray? He said, I want you to pray. That the Lord would not let me lose my house. And I said, well, I can't pray for that. And he said, why? I said, because the Lord might want you to lose your house. And he kind of looked a little sideways at me because I've been a person who lost a house. And what I learned from it is that it was God's way of providing me a financial blessing that I would have never gotten had I kept the house. I watched how he, and I'm not saying, so all I'm trying to say is, how about we just pray God's will for your house situation? And let's not force our will on God. Let's ready ourselves, because I know there are people in Bible study tonight or online that could testify God added to my life by taking some stuff away. That God multiplies some things in my life by my losing some things. And so we are not praying that we're in agreement. We're praying to be in agreement with what God wants. So the second thing I've got to continuously lean into after the pages of scripture, according to Proverbs 3, are the prayers of the saints. Now, here's the next thing. The third thing I've got to continually lean into to help form my understanding is the providence of God's sovereignty. The providence of God's sovereignty. That's a fancy way of saying God knows best. Like, I've got to be able to lean into that, y'all. I've got to lean into the reality that God knows what he's doing, right? And I've got to keep leaning in on that. There are moments in our life where we suffer loss and we're like, God, what in the world is going on? And then I got to remember, but you are sovereign, yes. Right? You have all answers. You know stuff I don't know about what's going to happen. Yes. You know, it's amazing to me how sometimes what we view, like God has a different way of answering prayers. You know, you got to be careful. That's why you got to be careful what you pray for, right? Because sometimes God's way of giving you strength, it could be creating something over in your life that you were, wait, I wasn't expecting to lose that, God. Well, no, you need to lose that to be strong. And so I've got to lean into, as I'm going to operate the way God wants me to, into the providence of his sovereignty. God knows. Everybody say, God knows. Come on, type that in on East City Campus. God knows. And then, here's the last thing I've got to lean into. People that are spirit-filled. Amen. Listen, I'm all for having friends that don't know the Lord. You know, I know all of our friends not saved. We know we got our, you know, we got folk in our life just, you know, going through whatever they're going through. But we all need some people that know the Lord. Amen. And that are spirit-filled. I'm not talking about playing church. I'm talking about spirit-filled. I'm talking about they understand how the Spirit of God is moving and are willing to pour into our lives. We need to lean into folk like that. And I'm not saying exclusively. And I'm not talking about religion. This is not religion where, you know, religious people are the ones, how you feeling today? Oh, praise the Lord, baby, I'm just good, the Lord is so good. And everything is a Bible answer, everything is a hallelujah. I'm not talking about them kind of folk. I'm talking about folk that are spending time with the Lord. and the fruit of the Spirit is evident in their life. So if I'm going to develop a discipline, if I'm going to be able to get the full value of trusting God, it is going to be largely dependent on the disciplines that I create and develop in my life. Now, all of that was discipline. Let me give you the next piece. After dependence, and you're going to see the value of this at the end of Bible study. After the dependence, trust in the Lord with all my heart, dedication, the discipline, lean not on your own understanding. I got to have the discipline of not doing certain things. And if I'm not going to do certain things, I've got to do other things. So lean not on my own understanding. Be cautious about certain things and be continuous about other things. Now, let's keep reading. Lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Write down the word discernment. This is so powerful. Let me tell you how you know God is moving. When you start changing. So like there's some things I've been changing with. Like I'm like studying y'all and I'm like, oh God, I got to do something different with that. Here's the convicting part. In all, he's like talking to me. I'm just going to use myself personally. James, in all your ways, acknowledge me. Now, I want you to get this. Many of us do not acknowledge him in all our ways. I got to thinking, we don't need to worship or serve a God that we don't trust enough to invite into everything in our life. Now, this is very convicting, y'all. This is very convicting. Let's not worship a God we're gonna leave out. So, now we're going to tell Wordites from everybody else when we get done this teaching. I want you to go back I'm going to give you a break. I'm going to call it a month. Go back and look at all your social media posts for a month and ask the simple question, can God be acknowledged in that? In all my ways, acknowledge him. That means I should not be cussing folk on social media if I'm a Christian. Amen, somebody. It means I should not be broadcasting the business of my ex-wife or my ex-husband. It means I need to be consistent and asking myself, how does God get acknowledged in this? I'm not talking about being overly spiritual. But how does God get acknowledged in this? You know, I'm not suggesting don't post the pictures of your family reunion. You know, but the picture of the family reunion with the blunt in my mouth and my 40 in my hand, you know, maybe I could have posted the one before. Because the same person that's going to post with the 40, and if you post it with a 40, I'm not talking about you. I'm just talking about what I'm talking about. I don't know everybody's business like that. But the question is just acknowledge me in everything. Like acknowledge, letting folk know, you know what? God is a part of my life. And so if folk were reading what I'm doing, do they know you saved? You know, some of us are so fearful of losing friendships and losing popularity that we won't even check in that we have Bible study tonight. Because you got a circle of friends that don't know you serious about studying the book like that. But I'll check in, you know, at some vacation spot. In all my ways, I should acknowledge him. You know, we've been married. Hey, you posting, me and my wife been married 43 years. God, I thank you because it wasn't easy 43 years. Right? He's saying, acknowledge me. Don't leave me out. That's good. And so here is the discernment that comes with that. How do I make choices in real time in context of faith? That's all discernment is. How do I make choices in real time, taking into account my faith? This is something I've got to do in real time. Discernment is like, I got to make sure I'm doing this in faith. And the issue of discernment is just me recognizing, y'all, that God is still good and worthy to be praised. And so no matter what I'm going through, there has to be a discernment attached to it. And let me tell you why. This is letter A on your handout. Because every circumstance is either arranged, assigned, approved, or allowed by God. Amen. Amen. Man, there's no exception to this. So even when the horrible stuff happens in our lives, somewhere along the line, God had to have approved it. I may not know why. And let me just minister to somebody. Because, you know, people go through losses and we have bereavement and we experience it all, right? We're going to do a memorial service in the City Lake on Thursday for the 8-year-old that was killed. How you make sense out of that? I'm not trying to excuse it away. I'm trying to give you enough trust in God. Trust in the Lord. I'm trying to give you enough trust in God that even when it does not make sense to me, I trust him enough to know that he knows the ways that he has allowed, and God is up to something that I don't yet understand or see, but I trust him enough to not abandon him while I'm going through this. And listen, that even means I may not get any answers down here. You know, especially now that the church has gotten so large and the technology has gotten so sophisticated, you know, I've tried to have questions with God about my son's loss. You know, he was my longest standing sound engineer. I never preached or taught without looking straight in front of me and seeing my son. He knew his daddy's voice. So it's easy for me to say, God, what's up with that? You let us build out all these equipment. Now my son's not even here to be able to run it. Let me tell you what I've learned. There's some answers I'm not going to get down here. And you're going to just have to wait until you get the glory to talk to him about it. But what you have to do while you're going through it is you got to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. So when you're at the funeral, I'm still acknowledging you, God. When I suffer loss, I'm still acknowledging you, God. And so there is a discernment to recognize that there's a pain in this, but God has a blessing in it. That there is a hurt in this, but God has a hallelujah in this. That there is a difficulty in this, but God is up to something in this. In all my ways, I gotta acknowledge him. And then here's the last statement now. In all my ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Now, that's a mouthful that we have to work our way up to. So go back for a moment. I want to put it all together, and I'm done teaching. I want to put it all together. I want you to see the link. Dependence, dedication, discipline, discernment, and then direction. Now, this is powerful. My direction is determined by who I give my dependence to. Wow. So if I don't trust the Lord with all my heart, if I don't depend on him first, then whoever I depend on is going to drive my direction. This is why we can wind up in a mess, because we trusted the wrong somebody. Amen, somebody. So God is saying, I'm never going to leave you stray. I'm never going to move you in the wrong direction. So I want you to see the progression of this. Whatever I'm going to depend on, I hope it's the Lord. That's got to be my dependence, my starting point. And then I depend on him and I give him my whole heart with all dedication. And then I develop a discipline with this thing. and then a discernment in it. And if I do that, I told you these are if-then propositions in Proverbs. These are all conditional blessings. It's amazing to me that people will ignore trust in the Lord with all thy heart and don't understand how I got where I am. The only way God has promised to direct me is if I trust him. If I don't trust him, then whoever I'm trusting is doing the directing, which is why God has to, at the forefront, always be who I trust. So let me make a final statement and we're done. So if then the writer of the Proverbs is accurate, and he is, lean not on my own understanding, in all my ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. If this is indeed true, and it is, then I can trust how things are gonna end up because I can trust him who I've been depending on. Yeah. Yeah. So here's the shouting part. I don't ever have to worry about it turning out bad. Wow. It may turn out different than I thought, but if I'm trusting him, it's not gonna turn out bad. So let me give you the final statement. It's just enough to encourage your heart. If he indeed is directing me, then this is what I want you to jot down, this last line. Then whatever I'm going through, this is going to end well. Man, that's a blessing for somebody. Tell two people this is going to end well. I want you to get this in your spirit. It's going to end well. If I depend on him, it's going to end well. If I trust him, it's going to end well. So let me tell you what this means. That means you and I have to live with a spirit of expectation. Yeah. Yeah. That if God has blessed you to put your feet on the ground again today, that this is the day that God is going to do something amazing in my life. That God, if God let me live another day, it's because God must be up to something extraordinary in my life. And I need to live in such a way where every time I put my feet on the ground, the devil is cursing because I'm alive and moving and still being used by God. And make up in your mind that I'm making up. This is going to be a good day. Can we kill that negativity? No, we're not getting up with, this not going to be a good day. Are you kidding me? It's the day God gave you. This is not the day that Satan gave you. This is the day the Lord has given me, and we all rejoice and be glad in it. And every time you wake up and are still breathing, you have struck gold again, and you need to make up in your mind, God, this day is going to end well. Things with my family are going to end well. Things in my business are going to end well. Things in my family are going to end well. Things in my every part of my life is going to end well. Come on, clap your hands if you believe that. Come on, y'all can do better than that. On East City, clap your hands. He shall direct my paths. Somebody say it with me. He shall direct my path. And because he will, wherever he sends me, it's going to be the best place for me. And whatever he's doing, it's the best plan for me. So God, I thank you that I may not understand it, may not even agree with it, but I'm trusting you to direct my path. And I thank you that this is going to end good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's going to end good.
Well, we're out of time for today. I hope the episode informed you. Hope it inspired you. If you enjoyed it, would you go ahead and subscribe to my podcast? Would you also consider following me on one of our social media outlets, whether it's LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at JD Gailier. We'll love to also hear your ideas about future episodes. So go ahead and email me at james@jamesgailier.com. And finally, go ahead on my website, jamesgailier.com, and respond to our poll for the week. Thanks again for listening. Thanks again for watching. I'll see you next time.